Shabbat Shalom, brethren. Today is Shabbat Haggadol, the Great or the High Sabbath. It's Saturday, the 9th of April, 2022, which is also Nisan 8 on the Hebrew calendar. Now, we were discussing various things in the previous audio. I talked about Nisan 10, the importance of understanding Nisan 10, the Hebrew month called Nisan, and day 10. It's also known as the Hebrew month called Aviv. Aviv means springtime. So the day when the time when the sun begins to come out and the leaves are restored. And this is usually signaled by the harvest of the barley crop, the mature crop. So, yes, I talked about the Nisan 10. I talked about the importance of understanding the timeline of Yahushua's death as prophesied about through Adam. I talked about the importance of understanding the Sabbath, the weekly Sabbath, and other Sabbaths in relation to Yahushua's death. I also talked about the firstborn priesthood, you know, the Yahweh's law regarding firstborns being the priests of their homes, firstborn sons especially. So we're going to continue now in this audio. This is part 3. The very first audio was an opening prayer and introduction. And now this is part 3 of the Shabbat Haggadol teachings for the year 2022. Some new revelations have come up in relation to this Shabbat, such as the connections between Pesach and Sukkot. I'm not sure if I'll be able to share all here, as I said in the previous audio, but I'll try my best. So, in continuation on the subject of priesthood and the firstborn children, the firstborn children from the time of Adam have always been known to be the priests of the home. But the people of Egypt took this and twisted it by, you know, making the firstborns to become a god in their lives. So the firstborns ended up being worshipped. And this is related to the pharaohs. You know, the people who became pharaoh in Egypt were usually the firstborn of the previous pharaoh. And they were always honored as a god in the land of Egypt. Even various other people that were the head of kingdoms were worshipped as gods. And this started with Nimrod. Nimrod started off with humility and, you know, worshipping the one true God, doing things properly. But as time went on, he allowed his heart to do evil, until he, you know, crossed the line by exalting himself as a god on earth. He asked Abraham to bow before him, and Abraham said no. Abraham actually mocked him and rebuked him, and the result was Abraham being thrown in the fiery furnace at some point. Abraham was, anyway, various other things happened to Abraham. He did experience close to martyrdom on several occasions. But the Lord Yahweh delivered him on every occasion. Please bear with me concerning the noise. I can't help it because I've got children in the house, so they may keep on interrupting the audios, but just ignore them, please. I was interrupted a little bit, so I'm just coming back now to continue. So, firstborn children were highly special throughout each generation, whether in a holy family or a pagan family or an unbelieving family. So the children of Israel, because of what happened in Egypt, and also with the fact that Yahweh had already set it in such a way that the firstborns are the priests of the home, he decided to tell the children of Israel to set the firstborns apart for him, even the firstborn animals. It became a law in Israel that those would be serving him as priests in the tabernacle in the future. Then the golden calf issue happened, and what we are not told in Exodus is that, but we are told in the lost books of the Bible, such as the legends of the Jews, is that the firstborns were involved in contributions to and the building of the golden calf. Even the elders, unfortunately, the elders that were supposed to assist Moses in Egypt by going with him to Pharaoh, as well as go up to Mount Sinai with Moses, but because they didn't support Moshe in Egypt or Mizraim, they couldn't go all the way up with Moshe. They had to only stay at the halfway, the mountain. So, unfortunately, the firstborns were disqualified because of the golden calf incident. They made contributions to the building or the construction of the golden calf, and they pushed Aharon to do that. So Aharon was not rebuked or, he wasn't told off by the Most High God for what he did, because he did it to save his life and to, save Israel from being consumed by the fire of Yah. If they had killed Aaron, it would have been really bad. It would have been a very great sin, because Aaron was a prophetic, I'm just going to call it an image. I can't think of the right word. He was a prophetic image of Yahushua HaMashiach. His role was pointing to Yahushua HaMashiach. And in fact, Moshe, when he had a chance to go to heaven prior to his death, he saw Aharon, his brother, and Yahushua HaMashiach standing together in the temple in heaven as high priests. So, which was to tell us that there are prophetic connections between Aaron and Yahushua. So killing Aharon would not have been good at all for Israel. So the firstborns contributed to the construction of the golden calf as, priests, and that got them disqualified. So henceforth, Yahweh decreed at the inauguration of the tabernacle, well, before that, within the first 7 days of the inauguration, leading up to the eighth day, Shemini, Yahweh declared that the firstborns are disqualified. Henceforth, it will be the Levites that will do the job going forward. They'll be the priests. So within the Levitical tribe, there would be priests, and the rest will just be called ordinary Levites. So Moses was a Levite, whereas Aharon was a priest. And the sons of Aharon were to take over from generation to generation. Nadab and Abihu lost their lives, so the other sons, Eleazar, and the other one I've forgotten, had to be the ones to carry the responsibility going forward. But obviously they had a lot of support from the other people that Yahweh had selected as priests. Also, Yahweh had to select a whole new set of elders because there was a time when he sent this fire to destroy a lot of people within the camp of Israel, and the elders ended up being one of the people destroyed. I think it was the golden calf incident. So Moshe had no elders to consult with and to support him for quite some time. But eventually he asked Yahweh to help him appoint new elders, which he did. And these were filled with the Holy Spirit through Moses, which was a very special incident. So the firstborn sons are still set apart by Yah to do great exploits for him by the grace of Yah, because they represent prophetically the first people to be raptured to the heavens after the dead in Yahushua HaMashiach have been raptured to the heavens. Because the very first people, set of people that will be raptured, who are still alive and not dead right now, are known as the Revelation 14 bride, and they are also likened to the barley crop, the mature crop, which is the first to be harvested and therefore the first to be presented to Yahweh as a special, you know, with tithe. So when we begin to count the Omer, Yahweh will talk about the wave offering. I think this is explained in Leviticus 23. The wave offering, he's referring to the barley. You use the barley to do the wave offering. You set apart an Omer and give it to him. Omer is a tenth of your proceeds, and you give that to the priests as led by the Spirit of God. So we use the barley, is a very special crop. So the firstborn, Yahushua becomes the firstborn of the dead on the 17th of Nisan. He's the very first person to die and resurrect in a miraculous way and be able to, you know, he was sinless. So he's the first sinless person to ever resurrect from the dead, even though he had carried our sins, he had carried our sorrows, he had carried our sickness, he had carried our illnesses, our defects. That's why he's called the leprous Messiah. So this Shabbat is also known as Shabbat Metzora, the Shabbat on which we study about diseases that affect people's bodies, like, you know, and, you know, they manifest so much and they can, you know, be contagious once you sit next to the person who has it. So usually we call them leprosy, but that word Metzora covers various illnesses of that nature. So we've got diseases that affect the body, diseases that affect the houses and affect garments. And then within the same Torah portion, we talk about women's monthly menstrual periods and how what Yahweh expects of women whenever they experience bleeding from their vaginas. They have to be 7 days unclean and therefore separate themselves. This is why husbands and wives in the past, they had different bedrooms. They didn't stay in the same bedroom. And I've noticed in Nigerian culture, it's something that's quite popular. The husbands tend to have their own bedrooms and the women, wives, have their own bedrooms as well. So when the wife is menstruating, she stays in her bedroom. And when she's not menstruating, she can be in the husband's bedroom. And this was just to help the man, the husband, not to be unclean. Because whenever the husband has any form of closeness with the wife when she is in her menstrual period time, she makes him unclean. Anything the lady sits on while menstruating, that thing becomes unclean. Anything she touches becomes unclean. So it's now clear as to why it was useful to have maids or house helps in those days, because the maids or house helps would assist when the wife is in her periods and she is not supposed to touch just anything she finds. So this law is not done away with. It is still very much valid. Women are supposed to set themselves apart for 7 days every month whenever they are in their period. This is extremely difficult, especially in this day and age, for ladies who are working, because there are more ladies working now than there are men, and some ladies are breadwinners. But what Yahweh expects of us as women is to set ourselves apart, separate ourselves, sleep on a different bed, sleep on a different room if possible, sit on a particular seat throughout that week where nobody else should sit, and also avoid going round like on the bus or in public transport when you're in your menstrual period as a woman. Avoid going shopping or going on public transport, because this too makes everywhere you go and sit down unclean. And in the process of shopping, you touch things, you put them back. I know it sounds complicated, and you know, many people will say this is too much of a burden to be keeping up with, but it's all about how much you love the Lord your God, the creator of heaven and earth. These were the rules in the past and they still apply today. It's not easy, but we have to try and uphold these rules. They are there for a purpose. They are there to, you know, to create a set apartness, to constantly remind us of holiness, the holiness of the Most High God. Be holy as I am holy. And also he says that, you know, holiness is something we require to be able to see him and dwell with him eternally. So it's quite a complex subject, but it's crucial. And it's interesting that this issue of bleeding from the vagina of a woman is touched on within this Torah portion. It's, well, very often in the men, most years where it's not leap years, it's called Zaria Metzora or Zarat Metzora. It was very clear in chapter 12 that was talking about women bleeding after giving birth, what is expected of them. And now we are talking about menstrual periods in chapter 15 generally. So for Yahweh to spend his energy, time, and ink writing about these issues, they are not non-issues, and the Torah has not been done away with. It's either we are following the man of the law or we are following the man of lawlessness. We all know the man of lawlessness is Obama. Everything about him, inside him, outside him, so I mean as in his body, on his body, the inside body, the outside body, everything to do with him represents lawlessness or wickedness or Torahlessness or sin. That is why it's called the man of sin or the man of lawlessness or the lawless one or the Torahless one, because he is the complete opposite of Yahushua HaMashiach. While Yahushua HaMashiach is the word of Yahweh, the word of Yah, who is like a double-edged sword, you know, that pierces through, dividing bone from marrow and dividing thoughts and intentions. As it says in Hebrews 4:12, here I am getting another revelation. Obama is the word of the devil. So he is the spoken word of the devil. He is the representation of the devil in every way possible. Everything to do with him is sin. Nothing good, nothing holy, nothing acceptable in heaven. He's all about idolatry. He's all about paganism. So it's either we are following Obama or we are following Yahushua HaMashiach. And we cannot go to Yahushua HaMashiach and treat him like a buffet. We can't say we are following him and then begin to be so selective about what to obey and what not to obey in terms of his commandments. He says in John chapter 12 that if you love him, keep his commandments. Keep his commandments. He says this in John 15. He says it in John 14. And in John 14, he ties it to the fact that if you are obedient to his commandments, he will pray to the Father who will give us another counselor, that he may be with us forever. So you can see that the commandments of Yahweh are related to the giving of the Ruach HaKodesh, who is also known as the Shekinah glory of the Most High God. Hallelujah, hallelujah in Yahushua's name. One who has my commandments and keeps them, that person is one who loves me. One who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him, and I will reveal myself to him. That's verse 21 of John chapter 14. There are some people who are making the argument that Yahushua abolished the law and only gave us two commandments to follow. Matthew 22:36-40, the two greatest commandments. I find this very alarming. And in fact, the very first day I heard it, I wanted to scream, because it was very clear through the person who said that they are so deceived. They just want easy life. When it says it's the narrow path, they don't understand that it means you have to be ready to follow the commandments of Yah. It's either you follow the commandments of Yah or you follow the commandments of HaSatan. You have that choice. It's really up to you. And at the end of the day, your fruit will be demanded by Yahweh. It says in Revelation 14, chapter 14, verse 12, that the people who are raptured, the very first people who are raptured by Yahushua HaMashiach, they kept the commandments of Yahweh and Yahushua. So it says, here is the perseverance of the saints, those who keep the commandments of Yah and the faith of Yahushua HaMashiach. This chapter is about Yahushua coming back as, you know, his second coming, which is not the time he raptures his bride. Then after talking about the second coming, it talks about the 144,000 who are raptured first. Another description of their ability to keep the commandments is in verse 4. It says, these are those who are not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are those who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. These were redeemed by Yahushua HaMashiach from among men, the first fruits to Yah and to the Lamb of Yahweh. So you see the words first fruits, or it continues in verse 5, that in their mouth was found no lie, for they are blameless. This word blameless is used by Yah to describe various people in the Bible. Like, for example, Noah was described as blameless, if I'm not mistaken. I've forgotten the people who are, you know, called blameless, but every time I read it, I became admirable of these people. And I always say to Yah that, help me to be blameless. May I live a life of not being blamed by you. May I be, you know, spotless and without wrinkle in the name of Yahushua. Help me to be pious before you in Yahushua's name. Okay, I need to stop here. We'll continue in the next audio. Remain blessed. Shabbat Shalom.